You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog, the Puppy 2 launched today on Underdog.
What's that
the
now?
Puppy 2.
Oh, wow.
Am I going to see you in there?
You won't know it. I'll be in there under a...
A pseudonym.
A different identity.
Fluminase. Yeah,
Fluminati.
I'll know that's you. I'll know that's you, the puppy, too. I just joined 10. 10 slows.
Oh,
so,
man.
I mean, it'd be great if you were in one of these 10. We go head to head. But I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's your idea of fun.
You ever have that thing where you,
I
just,
know it isn't.
You just remember an hour later that something you said in the first moment of the show was like a good album name, but you can't remember what the thing was? There was something I said right away, like an hour ago,
that
in my head I went, oh, that'd be a good album name, and I didn't say it, and now that I didn't say it, I'm never going to remember.
Well, there's your rewind opportunity.
All the more reason not to make an album.
Odyssey Rewind. With us now on the Wester Hotline is John Harris, sideline reporter for the Texans. And John, so I think we've spoken before. Sal loves you. Sal Capaccio mentions your name all the time. And I just discovered from your Twitter something I'm very excited about, that you have written a book on clock management. I think I need this book. I mean, can you tell us a couple of, before we get into the Texans, maybe a couple of like conclusions or maybe discoveries of yours?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's called Time's on Our Side. I actually wrote it in 2020. Well, I wrote it over a few years. And I was, the genesis of the book was I used to be a coach. My dad was a coach. I grew up as a coach. And in my final year, we're playing our biggest rivals, never beaten them in 35 years of school history. And I essentially screwed up kind of the way that I managed the last probably 4 minutes of the game. And I always just regretted that. And it always bothered me. And it's always bothered me when I watch coaches do things, you know, from a clock management perspective that just, it's so simple. Just why can't we make good decisions with the clock? And ironically, one of the chapters is about the Bills-Chiefs game, the divisional playoff game, which I believe was the 21 season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously how the Bills did not manage those 13 seconds as well as they could have. And on the flip side, how the Chiefs managed those 13 seconds about as well as you possibly could. Now, about a year later after I published the book, then they changed the kickoff rules – and everything sort of changed from that standpoint. But it was like I got a whole chapter on that particular game. But there have been so many moments in both college and pro football where, you know, coaches very easily could have walked out of a building with a win, and yet they did things that maybe didn't seem so obvious at the time that just seemed to stand out to me even more so. And I was on the sidelines. I've been on the sidelines since 2014, and I've seen, you know, well, not D'Amico Ryans, but Bill O'Brien was the worst. He would compound one mistake with another and do it multiple times in a game. It would just be a killer, and it would cost him a timeout on a final drive. And he would make one mistake one game and then turn around and make a different mistake the next game. And it's so maddening to watch, you know, coaches that get paid millions and millions of dollars make these mistakes that guys that play Madden know exactly what to do every time they pick up a controller. So I kind of wrote it from that perspective. And it's I got a few sitting on my shelf, so if you guys send me some addresses, I'll send them. It's a quick read. It just is kind of stories from games that, you know, where coaches could have made some different decisions and how they could have changed things going down the way, going down the road, and in all different facets. You know, going for two when they didn't need to, taking a knee, going for two instead of having one blocked and returned. You know, all those different things have happened in a game at some point. I try to kind of highlight them and kind of talk through what coaches should have been doing at that point.
When you say, like, it seems like it's so easy, anybody playing Madden knows how to do it, what do you think, did you learn anything about what it is that trips guys up in that situation? And even, you know, I know it was, you know, high school football or whatever it was for yourself, those 4 minutes that you were the sort of the genesis for this, what, were you distracted with too many things, too much on your plate, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's just that, you know, when you think about a coach, you know, just a head coach around the NFL, when a guy gets into coaching, the last thing that really a coach ever learns is how to manage the game. And it should be one of the first things that they learn. You get into it and you're like, you know, I want to coach linebackers. Okay, well, you're going to coach linebackers. And you start, you know, in the defensive meeting room, and you're a quality assistant, and you're learning everything about the schemes and everything you're running. You're learning about offenses, what offenses are trying to do to you. The last thing you end up learning is how to manage a game. And you really should be learning that from the beginning. And I use the Madden thought, and I don't know if I put this in the book, but I happened to call. We had this at Energy Stadium one day, and they're like, hey, would you just do this in the afternoon for us and call play-by-play of this Madden championship for the city of Houston? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I noticed that the guys that end up playing Madden, and there's a part of me that there's kind of a joke here, but kind of not. But I realized that the guys that play Madden, they don't know jack squat about the X's and O's. Like, I asked them, they don't know anything. They don't know an X from a Y, from a Z, from the H. They barely even know the quarterback. But I'll be damned if they don't know when to call timeout, when to run a play and get out of bounds. When they know everything about how to manage the clock and manage the game, because that's what they do. And I got to a point where I saw that, you know, head coaches really have to spend a ton of time managing the game and going through those scenarios and knowing them inside and out exactly how they want to call a game or how they want to manage the last part of a game, because it's not what they've grown up doing. You know, I think about Bill O'Brien. I went to college with Bill. I know his exact tenure all the way through. I knew exactly what he was doing. And at no point did he ever really kind of learn, or should have learned, I guess, at some point, you know, how do you manage these things? Even when you can learn it from Belichick, but until you're kind of in that hot seat, until you have to do it, man, you have to be really, really good at it to make sure you're not making those mistakes. And the good coaches have somebody in your ear. Coach, you got two timeouts. You got this. Hey, take a timeout here. Hey, this ball needs to be thrown outside the numbers. Hey, we can't run the football here. All those sort of things have to be communicated. And I think a lot of times coaches aren't and haven't done that from the time they started in coaching. They really get into it once they become a head coach, and it's at that point, sometimes it's too late. It's something I think all coaches should be doing more of as they're kind of climbing the ranks, so that when they do become a head coach, they can handle those timing situations a lot better.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, this is really right up my alley, and I'd love to ask you 50 more questions about it. Even yesterday, we were having a conversation about how you know, fourth down, it's become more normal. You sort of expect a team on fourth and one or fourth and two to go for it now, whereas a decade ago it was more, you know, uncommon. And how, like, Bulldog had the observation, John, that, you know, last year we saw an uptick in rushing. And man, think about if you knew you were going to use four downs, how much more sense it makes to run on first or second to get yourself to Josh Allen teams. Should they ever not convert a four down sequence? Like third and four, got it. He's going to run twice. We're good. Like, it's just, it's so easy. The rushing quarterbacks and the two high safeties and everything. I don't know. Does that fit in sort of your sense with your sensibilities?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. It's not, when I was coaching, you know, I was young. I was 25, 26, and, you know, I had, you know, kids that were 17, 18 years old. I mean, they weren't that much younger than I was, and their parents always kind of looked at me like, hey, he's a young guy. Like, and they would always kind of question some of my decisions in some sense because I was so young. I was so inexperienced, and I used to tell them, I was at a Christian school, and I said, I got four downs. God gave me four downs. I'm going to use them. And yeah. If I had Josh Allen, I'd think the exact same way. I've got four downs. I'm going to use them. And I love the way that Joe Brady is sort of taking that offense and giving it kind of that sensibility, you know, using six offensive linemen a lot. You know, the way that James Cook ran the ball, the way those guys work together, but you've got the ultimate weapon in Josh that you get the third and four and you're like, man, this should be money. This should be absolute money 60 to 65% of the time that you can even if third down gets kind of shut down, you don't get much when you're running the ball. Okay, you're fourth and three. I still feel pretty confident that Josh on a, you know, some sort of run pass option mm-hmm. where he's got options to do either makes it so difficult for a defense. And I just think that's such a weapon to have. That's why I Josh didn't have a great game against us, but I know every time that he's on the other side, he scares the hell out of me because of that, because he's got that opportunity to do that. I mean, we have yet to stop Lamar Jackson in the number of times that we have faced him. And so that's another one, especially with Derrick Henry. Man, that's going to change the way that I'm calling a game, even at the end of the game, too. If I'm going to try and keep the ball away from an opponent, it can completely change what I want to do with my offense because I can burn time. Hey, one extra first down, what is that worth? And that's, I think, where, you know, when good coaches at that point are thinking that way, then the biggest key is then communicating it to your offensive coordinator and making sure your offensive coordinator isn't pulling a Kyle Shanahan like he did in the Super Bowl, where Dan Quinn doesn't talk to him and say, hey, look, run the ball. If you run the ball, the Patriots can't come back on us. And instead, what do? He threw it, Ryan gets sacked, they got a punt, and then Tom Brady is the GOAT, and you know, we know what happens at that point. But that's where good coaches that understand that say, hey, here's the clock, here's what we're trying to do, let's make sure we can do it. Well, now you're not going to run Matt Ryan, but you might with Josh Allen. Absolutely, and I think that changes what offensive coordinators then call and how they go about it. But, yeah, I think it's absolutely that, how coaches treat those situations at the end. And, you know, I didn't write about the Kyle Shanahan one in my book, but that's one that kind of fits in the same kind of situation. Kyle's is like, no, we're going to do what we do. Okay, that's great, and it costs you a Super Bowl. But right. If you're smart about the clock and how you manage it, you might step away from what you do a little bit and still win a championship like you were supposed to.
Right. John Harris is our guest, author and sideline reporter for the Texans. The book, again, is called Times on Our Side. It's a couple of years old, but you can go to John's Twitter, J. Harris Football, and right up top is a link to it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Let's get to the Texans, two-time defending AFC South winners. One thing that maybe is the most interesting thing about them is that they had a really tough time on the offensive line last year, and they went and kind of just flushed it. And maybe conventional thinking would be like, that's not going to be, you know, an upgrade exactly, trading Tunsil for one. But I don't know. It wasn't like they were good. So what do you think of their strategy here this offseason?
It's funny because I would hear people say this a lot after the trade of Laramie Tunsil, and I'll be upfront and honest about it. I love Laramie. Like I said, I used to coach in Jacksonville, Florida, and he grew up in Lake City, which is about 45 minutes away. So I always had my eye on Laramie for a long time. I think he's kind of a cool, you know, almost too cool for school kind of guy, but he really cares about his teammates and such. But Laramie is not, how do I say this the right way? Laramie is going to be Laramie. As he's known here in Houston, as C.J. Stroud called him, a vet. Like, Laramie is going to do exactly what he needs to do. Hey, if I'm a 9-to-5 guy, he's going to show up at 8:59 and 54 seconds, and he's going to leave at 5 o'clock and 1 second. Like, there's not going to be a ton of extra that goes with him. And so when I was kind of was fairly certain that if they could find a good deal, they would move him. And it was actually Sal who texted me and said, they traded Tunsil. I was like, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen because what they're looking for up front was not the most talented offensive line. And last year's line, even though it was not good, it was talented. They had a lot of talented guys up front, but they weren't a good offensive line. What they traded for in talent, they're hoping to get back in cohesion and a better working line together. And they felt like Laramie was not the piece that was going to be able to do it. Laramie loved his PFF grades. He loved to be out on his own, on his island, like, hey, man, I've got this all by myself. Just leave me out here. And his grades, his PFF grades would be great. But as a whole, it wasn't working together because Laramie was too much of an independent contractor. The few other guys kind of going into business for themselves. What they want from this offensive line is they'd like to have as much talent, but you're not going to when you let Laramie Tunsil walk out the door. But what you're looking for is a better together front five, not four guys that don't play very well and one guy that plays really well. They want all five guys working together, the proverbial five fingers as a fist sort of thing. That's what they want. They want a line that can come off the football and hit you in the face. And one other thing about this offensive line, as I think about it, they wanted to get bigger. They went and they got bigger. They drafted Urshery in the second round. He's 330 pounds. They went in and brought in Trent Brown, who's maybe the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
They brought in Cam Robinson, who is not small by any stretch of the imagination. They brought in some size. They want to try and move people off the football. They want to impose their will up front. And they felt like Laramie was not that kind of guy to be able to do that. And he didn't foster the cohesiveness in the room. So they got rid of the offensive line coach, got rid of the offensive coordinator. They felt like those were issues last year as well. They brought in guys they felt would be better together. And now they're probably going to have with Nick Haley as offensive coordinator and Cole Popovich as offensive line coach. They feel like they've got a better overall group that has to play well together. But if that group doesn't play well together, then it is going to be a world of hurt down here because you just, you got rid of your line you had last year and it wasn't very good. And if it's not good again this year, okay, well, where are the fingers pointed at that point? So there's a lot of pressure on that group to get it done this year with what they've got. And I think one of the ways they want to try and get it done differently is by being better, running the football more effectively, running football, which is something in big games they couldn't do last year.
John, a year ago at this time, we would have, a lot of people in football, not just Texans fans, would have been crushing on the receiving core of the Houston Texans. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Steph Diggs as a free, as a trade, and like looks like a really nice receiving core. And a year later, Diggs tears his ACL in New England. Now Dell has the devastating injury in the was that in the playoffs, and Nico Collins is still there. Second and third round picks on receivers. How do you feel about the sort of remade receiving core?
You know, when you say all that, and you look, oh my God, we lost Diggs and Tank. You're like, oh my God, what are they going to do? But I really think they drafted well. I was a big fan. You know, I do a lot of draft work. I was a big fan of both Cyclones, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. I didn't think they'd have an opportunity to get both. And I felt like they weren't going to bring Diggs back. And I kept thinking about players that, you know, weren't at the bottom of the barrel, but also not the T. Higgins, and obviously T. didn't leave Cincinnati, but, you know, that ilk where you'd pay $35 million a year for a receiver. You know, they weren't going to go out and spend $30 million on DK Metcalf. They weren't going to do that. They had just paid Nico Collins. So I thought, who's kind of in that kind of middle ground from a contract? And I looked at Jackson, and I went, hey, Christian Kirk's due to be a free agent soon. What about Christian Kirk? And I thought he'd be a good fit for Nico. And, you know, during OTAs and minicamp, he really was. He's a good fit. He offers an open outlet, kind of like what Steph did. You know, I think people forget this. A lot of people think the Texans were a little bit of a disappointment last year. You know, they had all those receivers, as you mentioned, and it was like, yeah, they were supposed to be really, really good. Well, we were 10-7 against the first-place schedule. We just weren't quite ready to beat the heavies at that time, especially because we lost Tank near the end of the season. And we lost Steph against the Colts in Week 8, I believe it was. And what Steph had become for CJ was, I'm not sure what is going on back here because I'm getting pressure from all over, but Steph, you're open, I'm throwing it to you. And I think that's what Christian is going to be for CJ as well. But the two Cyclone rookies coming to Houston, Higgins and Knoll. Higgins was fantastic in OTAs and minicamp. I was really excited. And he's got a body like Nico. He's not as big and strong as Nico, but he is everything they want in a receiver. Speed on the outside. I had football ops guys come in there and practice. Like, there was one day he roasted a DB, and they're like, you know that DB is our fastest guy on the team, right? And Higgins beat him by 2 yards just on a 9 route. Just go. So we got that ability, I think, to be better at receiver. And we actually just talked about it today on my radio show about what if Tank can come back. It's a long shot. I mean, it's a real long shot. But if he were able to come back in December, it gives the whole city. This city loves Tank Dell. I can't even explain it. I mean, I know he played at the University of Houston, but we've got a lot of University of Houston alums, but it's not just that. It's like every time Tank does something in our building, our fans go crazy. And to have the juice that he would give if he could come back. Now, that's a mouthful after what he went through and what he's gone through. It took him 2 months just to get the ACL surgery because they had to repair everything else. So I'm not banking on that. But if Higgins and Knoll to live up to the expectation, and you put those two with Nico and Kirk has a good year, now you've got four guys that you can really kind of spread the wealth around, and hopefully you get something from your tight ends this year, and maybe your passing game is what you want it to be in 25, what you wanted it to be in 24. So it doesn't have the, quote, big three names, but I think the sneaky signing of Kirk was huge, and the drafting of those two wide receivers, they were massive for C.J. Stroud.
The Texans swap out Josh Allen's former BFF Diggs for his actual BFF, Christian Kirk, this year. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, you got to love a guy named Tank when he runs 160 pounds. Who isn't drawn to that?
I'm telling you, if you meet Tank outside the building or see him outside the building, I'm telling you, fans don't know. They see him and they're like, oh, my God, you're Tank. Like, I mean, he's that small. I mean, he looks like he should be in the eighth grade, but I see defensive backs, when Tank is fully healthy, I see defensive backs scared like no other to face that guy. And the shame about his injury that happened against the Chiefs the week, about 5 days before he put the Ravens on Christmas, was he was dominating the Chiefs. Chiefs had no way of stopping him in that game. He was killing everybody, McDuffie included, and then he makes the touchdown catch. And our guy just happens to be there in a freak accident, and it kind of changed the rest of the season. It really took a lot of the juice out of the rest of the season, and obviously that late in the season is probably going to take a lot of juice out of this one. It'd be great to have him back. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Plus, he got hurt the year before on a goal line block, which you know, didn't need that. Very good, John. Well, again, Jay Harris Football, if people are interested in your book, I'd recommend it. I'm eager to read it. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great year.
All right. Thanks. John Harris, who covers the Texans, the Bills, visit Houston week 12. Thursday night.
Amazon
Prime, which has the Yankees tonight, you told me.
Yeah.
Got to know this stuff.
You do.
Every game somewhere else. Mm-hmm. What are we watching here? Tudden?
We are watching Tudden, yes. I don't believe this is on our cable here. I couldn't find it anywhere. But so it's fine. It works. We don't really need the commentary.
No, that doesn't help us.
No,
right now. Yes. Okay. 803-0550. We talked about the Bills earlier. Can McDermott or Bean afford a down year? What's a down year? We might want to get back to that. We'll see. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here back after the update. This is WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.